Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. As we do every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5, the game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. Corey, good morning. How are you?
I am still alive. It's been an amazing weekend.
An amazing weekend. That's good.
Yep. Because you have another lesson to learn.
Oh, boy.
You know, you've had the parenting lesson. The home ownership lesson is coming your way next. We had our hardwood floors redone.
Oh, boy.
And with the Morgan Wallen concert, all the hotels were $300 and $400 a night. So we spent the weekend crawling in and out of our bedroom window.
That's good. It's good stuff there.
Three people and a cat.
Nice. Very nicely done. Corey, we've been breaking down the Predators all morning here. Obviously, season comes to an end Friday night. It was a really fun second half of the season, a really even playoff series. And now that it's over, the question is, what happens next? This is obviously, I think, a team that overachieved this year, a team with some questions moving forward in terms of how Barry Trotz views the roster. How do you view where this team is in the aftermath of the series against Vancouver and the decisions that now face Barry Trotz?
Well, they need more secondary scoring, number one, because the first line had more goals than the other three lines put together. All right. The first line was really good, but it wasn't that good. You know, this wasn't, you know, Messier and Gretzky up there. They did score a lot of goals and they had a great year. You know, but I don't believe any of their other forwards scored 20 goals this season. So they need to find some 20-goal-plus scorers for their second line at a minimum. And they've got to find some guys who are young who can score as well because O'Reilly and Gustav are not getting any younger. You know, you like to think of Evangelista as a 20-goal scorer here in the next year or two. So you know, he's one guy you can point to and think you're going to get there. But then you've got to be able to identify it after that. Who else projects that way for your hockey team? Because they need a couple of them. They need to find a couple of them.
Yeah, no, absolutely, Corey. And we may as well rope you in. We've talked about this before, but since it's, again, season ends, and so you immediately go to this. I mean, my mind went to it, and we talked to him in, you know, in the locker room after the game, and you're like, man, this could be it for UC Saros, but yep. Where are you right now on that decision that faces Barry Trotz?
I mean, it's one of these situations. It's like trading Shea Weber, right? You don't want to trade Shea Weber, but you trade Shea Weber because you think it gets you closer to the cup. And I think it's that situation with Saros. You don't want to trade UC Saros, but he's an asset who has value, and you have a really good replacement in line. And that's the big key to me because, you know, like we said with the AJ Brown, you know, trade, you didn't have a replacement, a proven replacement for AJ to come and fill in for him. And you can say that Askarov isn't proven, but he's looked really good every step of the way. So you feel very good that he's going to come in and be an excellent, you know, goalkeeper for this team, possibly for a long time. I don't think there's a lot of trepidation about handing that kid to the keys to the car. So he becomes an asset then that you can deal and you can get something. Now, having said that, I'm not giving him away. I'm not doing, you know, a third and a fourth round pick for him. I need something tangible, you know, and there are teams who need a goalie enough where they should be willing to deal something tangible. So I think, unfortunately, I think that has to be a priority to find a shopping partner and something that you want in return. Because if there isn't a partner or there isn't a partner with something you want in return, then you don't get rid of him. Because you don't get rid of him just because you've got two. You move on from him to get better. And that's the only reason to do it. But I think when you're looking at what you have to work with, I think that's your easiest path.
I agree with you. Now, let me throw this one at you in addition to that. Let's say they go that route and Saros is traded this offseason. I feel really good about Askarov. I think he's going to be a great player in the NHL. I don't know how quickly he's going to be a great player in the NHL. Yep. So are you comfortable if you're Barry Trotz, given where this roster is right now, potentially for a step back in the short term with the hope that long term it leads to more success? Is that something you're willing to do with Roman Josi being at age 33 and Philip Forsberg about to turn 30?
Yes, because you have to be. I mean, you have to be because you've got to get younger. You know, because I said the two other guys, you know, do you think you're not ready to win the cup right now anyway?
Correct.
So you've got to find a way to get closer to winning the cup. And you've got to improve your scoring and the depth of your scoring more than the depth of your goalkeeping. And, you know, Lankinen has shown he can play and win with this team. So I think you bring him back. And you work with Askarov and you can work them in tandem until you think he is ready. Because I think you've got to have the horses. I know you've always got to have the goalie, but shoot, we looked for a long time for this team just to have a first line. They've got a first line now. And now they just need, they don't need 30 goal scorers on the second line. They need 20 goal scorers.
Gort, what about just the job this year that Trotz and Brunette did? Because I think Preds fans are totally understandably disillusioned with this idea, like this feeling of another season in the middle and you get in the playoffs, but you don't have really a chance to do anything. But yeah, these guys are a year into their job, so they should be separated from what they inherited. What did you think how do you think they did in their first year?
Well, I think, like you said, they overachieved, and I think they changed the culture. And I think in a first year, changing the culture is usually kind of your first step. I remember, when Mike Mularkey took over that Titans team that won 5 games in 2 years, the first thing he did was try to change the culture. They did competition stuff all the time, trying to get guys to be competitive, get used to winning. And so, this team changed the culture and changed the expectation of what they do on a daily basis and how they play on a nightly basis. And so now that that's established, they can get the most in their eyes from the guys on their roster and find the guys that fit that roster and that culture. So I think that that's a huge step forward, in the team. I also think Barry proved himself, with the moves that he made, pretty much all of them were bullseyes. And so, he showed he's got a clue at what he's doing with that job. So I think that that's important as well. Look, I understand it's a first-round playoff loss is frustrating, but they made the playoffs. And I will never think that that's a bad thing, no matter what some people say, because unless you're picking in the top 3 or 4, it just doesn't matter to me. And frankly, I don't want to sit through a season where they're the worst team in hockey. That's not a lot of fun. I've sat through those seasons in multiple sports, and they're horrible. They're not a lot of fun. So I'll never begrudge them for winning. I'll never begrudge them for getting the most out of what they've got, and that's absolutely what Andrew Burnett did. I was very impressed by his, not just coaching style with the way they played on the ice, but the way he handled his hockey team. From a communication standpoint, from a leadership standpoint, even all through the Canucks series, he never panicked, continued, to believe in his team. And he had every right to, when, some hothead like me would have freaked out after game 4. but no, I think everything they've done, he's a Jack Adams finalist, and he should be. And Barry should be a GM of the Year finalist. We'll see if that happens. So I think you have to feel really good about the leadership of the hockey team. They just need a couple more horses. That's it.
Corey, great stuff as always. Thanks for taking time to be with us this morning, and we will talk to you next week.
You know what the best part about this conversation is?
What's that?
I walked out the front door with my daughter.
Wow.
To the bus.
Not the window, huh?
Not the window, yeah.
That's an impressive turn from
this
weekend.
Happy with the floors?
They're beautiful.
Good floors?
That's good. They are beautiful.
That's good.
It's a hybrid. You know, they're half mm-hmm. prefab and half hardwood.
Okay.
And I'd highly recommend them to anyone.
That's good. We hope you enjoy your new floors at the house.
No, they're not new. They're just resurfaced, you know.
Well, we hope they serve you very well. Thank you, Corey.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks. It's just so nice to serve you guys.
Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest here on Robbie and Rexroad, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic, joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. So where do the Nashville Predators go from here? That's our question of the day. The season is over. They're eliminated in the first round. What is next for the Nashville Predators? What do you make of the trajectory that they're on? More on that coming up next. Your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Nick Keyes are here with you on this Monday morning. By the way, next Sunday, Mother's Day. This just in, Mother's Day coming up. So if you didn't know it, if you've been kind of just going through life and didn't realize that you're a week away, listen up. We have a $100 gift card to a Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa in Franklin available for you now if you answer this trivia question. And if you get the trivia question, you'll also be qualified for an upgrade to a $250 gift card as well. We're going to be doing this all week long here on the show. Answer today's trivia question on our text line. Do not call. Make sure it's on the text line. How many times in the history of the Nashville Predators franchise have they made it out of the first round? How many times have they won a first-round playoff series? If you know the answer, hit up our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The first person to correctly guess the answer will win a $100 gift card to a Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa in Franklin and will be qualified for an upgrade to a $250 gift card as well. Pretty nice Mother's Day option there for you. So just saying, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. The Preds season has come to an end, and Joe, it begs the question, what's next now? I think, and we talked about this earlier in the show, I think this is a massive offseason from the Predators. It's not going to get the same amount of attention as last year's did from the standpoint of you had a new general manager and a new head coach coming in, and you're not going to have that this offseason. But when you factor in what just happened with this group, the age of the roster, the decision coming up at goalie at some point, like it's a pretty massive offseason for the Predators coming up here. There's been this kind of narrative, for lack of a better term, around this team this year, and I saw it even more this weekend, that this is a young team. Well, how about those young Preds? Like the young Preds hung in there with Vancouver, and they're going to continue to get better and better and better, and we'll see, you know, they can be in Stanley Cup contention here in a couple years. And my problem with that is this is not a young team. It's not. Go look at the roster. It was not a young team that played in that playoff series against Vancouver. They had some young guys. Stasny's a young guy. He got hurt. Evangelista's a young player. I think you should be very encouraged by what you saw from him this year. Parsonen got in the last game, which was good to see, and I thought he held up pretty well. So good stuff there. But by and large, it's Ryan O'Reilly and Philip Forsberg and Roman Josi and Luke Shen. There's a lot of veteran guys that they've got on this team. So how does that influence the way that Barry Trotz views the roster? On one hand, like, does Barry Trotz look at it and say, you know what, we think Andrew Burnett's a great coach, and with this coach and this system and the veterans that you have on the roster, we're a little bit better than I thought we were and maybe closer to competing for a championship than I thought, and you go and add to that this offseason. That is an option for Barry Trotz. Do you look at it and say, you know what, I like our group. I like some of the veteran players that we have. But in order for us to take the next step, it's going to have to be at the hands of some of these young guys, and we got to give them opportunity. And do you open up roster spots to go that way? Like, it's a really interesting offseason depending on the way Barry Trotz views how to best proceed with this team. And there's a lot of different ways it could go. How do you, Joe Rexroad, view where the Predators are and how this season should influence Barry Trotz and what he does this summer?
That's the thing is I find it difficult, even in a hypothetical, sit here in my chair and just pretend to be a GM world to make the right choices, because there's just so many variables. What do you think of certain young guys? How important is it to adhere to the timeline, so to speak, and not go backward and try to help these veterans you have who are still playing good hockey. I agree, like, you can't expect that to last forever, but you could say, okay, well, Ryan O'Reilly, yeah, maybe he's getting a little long in the tooth and you need another number one center, but for now, do you not want to help that guy win next year with what he did for you in his first year in the organization? By the way, underrated moment of today's show is the update where Nick Hughes is like, Ryan O'Reilly shared how he thought about how he played. I sucked. That made me chuckle.
That guy. One thing that no one will ever be able to say about Ryan O'Reilly is that he doesn't take responsibility. Holy smokes.
Yes, he overtakes responsibility, but yes. But I mean, that guy, like, and look, I remember conversations this year, like with Brunette, about this whole thing, like losing sleep about, man, do I sit that kid down? Because he, you know, maybe it's not the best for him, but then these guys, they want to win and they're winners and they're good. And they're, so what do you do? So it's like you carry that question into the summer a little bit too, right? But I still think it starts with the goalie. It starts with what are you going to do? And then what can you do if you decide you are going to move Saros? And how, really, I think also, how far do you lower your standards on the return? Because clearly it's not what Barry Trotz has hoped for.
Correct.
So how much value is there still in just making the move to open up the cap space and setting a course and saying, Yaroslav, this is going to be your show? How much value is there in that, even if your return isn't great? How important is it to try to go get someone big, swing that big trade, sign, you know, offer sheet that Alex Doherty mentioned earlier? There's a lot of things you can do there. And then, like I said, how do you feel about some of these young guys in particular? Do you feel like some of them are, quote unquote, cooked enough so that some of those spots do need to be left for them next year?
Well, let me ask you this. How important do you think it is that Barry Trotz makes a decision on UC Saros this offseason? He's eligible for an extension on July the 1st. That doesn't mean that they have to make a decision by then. You could take it in the next season. You could take it to next trade deadline if you wanted to. How important do you think it is that a decision on the Saros front, one way or the other, comes down this offseason?
I think it's important. Well, look, but to your point there, you could, I mean, I guess in theory, you could take it past the trade deadline and just go into him as a UFA and say, okay.
That would be interesting, but you could.
That would be interesting, but maybe if you went that route, also there might be a little bit of a humbling on his part and you might end up with a cheaper deal for him. I don't know. Maybe not. Well, we're going to have Willie Donick in tomorrow, and we know he has had the thought of, like, Saros and Askarov together for a stretch.
Yep.
I mean, which I guess would be next year. I think it's important to get it done by the draft and have the draft perhaps involved with it and have your new course established at that point. I think that's the, from a timeline perspective, I think that's the best case scenario. And then obviously, you know, Saros knows where he's going, knows what his future is. I mean, the guy's been in limbo for a long time. We've been talking about this for more than a year.
Yep.
And so he knows this, and he's been thinking about it for more than a year. I mean, he's admitted that at times. You know, he's got friends saying, you know, they've heard this or that on the internet. I mean, I think it would be great for him to have certainty as well and not have this lame duck year with the Preds next season.
It's a really interesting spot that he's in because clearly he is a very good goaltender. Games 5 and 6 in this series, he was awesome. He played as well as you could ask for him to play for the most part. You know, the series as a whole, I would probably describe as up and down. The year, I would describe as up and down. And to me, the question is less about, like, how good you think he is. To me, it's more about allocation of money. And I don't know if Barry Trotz views it the same way. That's the way I view it. Are you really best served spending what I think, and maybe I'm wrong about this, I don't think I am, but what I think is going to be in the neighborhood of $8 million per year on a long-term contract? Are you better served going that route with UC Saros, who is a known commodity in the league, or are you better served taking that money, using it elsewhere with your roster, and going younger in goal and hoping that your young phenom prospect turns into what you think he's going to be at the NHL level, and that is a superstar player. And that's really the decision that Barry Trotz has. And I've gone back and forth on it multiple times. I think where I've landed now as the offseason begins is I would lean more towards trading Saros and going that way. You know, I'm interested to see what the number actually ends up being when it lands through the contract, whether it's here, whether it's elsewhere, whatever that next deal looks like for Saros. I'm really interested to see what the number is. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. How would you handle the UC Saros situation? How do you view this offseason for Barry Trotz and the Nashville Predators in terms of the trajectory they should take? We'll take your thoughts on all that. 615-737-1025, our phone number. By the way, congratulations to Jordan in Nashville, who correctly guessed 5 is the number of first-round playoff series that the Predators have won. 2011, 2012, 2016, 2017, 2018. They've been out of the first round 5 times.
I saw a whole bunch of 3s on there. You guys just start watching this team in 2016?
I saw a 10 on there.
Hey,
well, I saw that too. That was, yeah, that's interesting.
It's about the guess. Sometimes you got to guess and get it in real quick. I get it. It's all good. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning, discussing the Nashville Predators. What is the path for the Predators this offseason? What will Barry Trotz do this upcoming offseason? Will it be trading the goaltender? Will it be signing UC Saros to a long-term contract? Very interesting decisions coming up for Barry Trotz. We're taking your thoughts on all that. Got a text for the system. So somebody tell me what happened to Cody Glass. Looks like he was put on the bench in favor of Beauvillier, who I thought added nothing. He's fast, but sure it doesn't look like he can finish. Glass was only a few games past a hat trick and just disappeared. I don't understand it. This is from an unnamed texter on the text line. This was, to put it lightly, a pretty rough year for Cody Glass. I mean, especially based on, like, you thought he had found some traction at the end of last season and that he was going to be potentially a pretty big piece for you this year. And it started off with injuries, and he never really got caught up from there. He had the hat trick against Colorado, which was awesome. And then the deadline came around, and he was barely in after that. It was really just basically a giant nothing burger from Cody Glass this year. So how does that influence the way you view him moving forward? I think he's got 1 year left on his deal. I mean, there's almost zero trade value there. So what do you do with him, and how does he factor into your future here?
Yeah, I don't know. But as far as the the question there, I would disagree a little bit. I think Beauvillier was a good add. I understand he didn't score goals. I thought he was pretty good in the series. Maybe not as good as some people thought he was, but he was – I think he was better than Cody Glass. And so I think that decision – was not, to me, controversial. I put Cody Glass in the bucket with a lot of these guys who have demonstrated some promise, have had some opportunities, and at this point kind of just look like it's kind of take it or leave it players. You know, one guy, I mean, Tomasino, at this point, I don't know. I mean, at this point, you know, we'll see, but it doesn't seem like it's really happening for him. What about a Parsonen? Because yeah. I will say that, like, last year at times, I was pretty bullish on him having some real potential. I thought he did fine there in his first opportunity, you know, in game 6. But what do you think about him?
Yeah, he's a really
that's a more interesting question.
He's a really interesting guy because, you know, he's only 23, so he's still really young. I thought it was underwhelming at the NHL level from him. It was a little bit disappointing that he didn't play better than he did at the NHL level. He goes down in Milwaukee, and he's pretty good. I mean, he had 25 points, 36 games, 7 goals, 18 assists. The one thing from him that still kind of drives me nuts at times, and I think you saw it again a couple of times in game 6, he's such a big guy. And he gets knocked around a little too easily for being as big as he is. And that bothers me about him. Now, like, I think Parsonen, like, I'm still intrigued to see what he can be at the NHL level. Like, I think he's worth keeping around, and I think he's worth seeing what you got in him next year. Like, I talked earlier about how I think there will probably be some guys that won't be here next year that are part of this young group that people maybe aren't expecting. I don't think he's one of them. Like, I think he will be. I think he'll be around, and I think he's going to have a chance to have an impact on the team next year. He's got to find a way to use his physical gifts a little bit more consistently than he does. If he doesn't, then he just has no chance. Like, you gotta keep your feet moving. You got to find a way to become a little bit sturdier on the puck and to be kind of bought in every night to the way you have to play. And I think that's a lot of what this season was about for him. I still think he can be pretty good. Obviously, he's got really good hands. Like, I like a lot about him. I think it's fair to say that this was a disappointing season for him based on what I thought he could be heading into it.
Yeah, especially when you get the opportunity he got to start the season.
Yes.
To think at that point that he would end up spending the half or whatever the majority of it in Milwaukee would have been very surprising to tell anybody. So there are a lot of guys like that. And I think Evangelista clearly has identified himself as a guy. Not that he can't, he has to get better.
For sure.
He has to get more physical, but he's got some things to his game that I think are going to help him progress and be a really good player for the Preds moving forward. And I think Kemmel has that special kind of skill too, but sometimes guys like that, you get to the NHL and the physicality and the space, time and space closing up on you, just don't know for sure. But I think he's another one.
I think so too. That's the thing though. Like, how many of these guys are going to be on the team next year? Like, is Parson on the team? Is Kemmel on the team? We know Evangelista is going to be on the team. Is Tomasino on the team next year? Because you look at where they're at right now contractually, there's just not a ton of spots, right? Like, O'Reilly is under contract. Nyquist is under contract. Forsberg's under contract. Novak, Glass. I mean, go up and down the list. They got a lot of guys. Jankowski's under contract. McCarron's under contract. There's a lot of spots that are already spoken for. And that's why, like, I really like Jason Zucker. But are you taking away too many spots from some of these younger players if you bring back a guy like Zucker? Like, quite frankly, I agree with you. I would have played Bevilier over Cody Glass. Having said that, like, I'm not giving really one second thought to bringing Bevilier back. Like, it was a fine ad. You gave up basically nothing to go get him, and he played decent for you in the playoffs. But, like, Anthony Bevilier, to me, does not need to be on this team next year. There are guys that you have in your system that could come in and give you what Anthony Bevilier gave you. Zucker is, I think, a little bit more of an interesting one, but he's 32. Like, how old do you want the roster to be? Like, I think a lot of Predators fans throughout the series just made it a foregone conclusion that they need to bring Zucker back. And I understand the thought process behind it, but you also have to look at where your roster is right now and how much room you're taking up with some of these veteran players. And that, to me, is the tough decision for Barry Trotz.
No question. It gets into that, how much do you, I don't want to say honor, but how much do you really just do what your best players want you to do, I would say, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they want to win. They want to win now. They want to see Trotz pull something big and really just have the best possible roster you can have on the ice next season. And maybe it's better long-term if there is a step-back season. That's why I think if the goalie move is made, I think it's a lot easier to sell the idea of, look, it's going to be – he's going to have a year of growing into the role, and it could be rough at times. And there are some young guys that have to have looks, serious looks, and some of them have had enough time to get to that point.
Yeah.
I think it's an easier sell if you move Soros. If you don't, then I guess I would ask, why are you messing around with doing anything but just having your best possible winning team on the ice and getting back in this tournament and saying, you learn from this mistake, you've added this piece, and now you can make a run. And I know some Preds fans will cringe at that idea, but I think if you don't move Soros, that is potentially the mindset.
Well, and just from a roster standpoint, think about this. We mentioned the defensemen earlier, right? They've got six for next year that are already under contract. Yossi, McDonough, Barry's a free agent. Luke Shen's under contract. Fabro's under contract. Lozon's under contract. And Stasny's an RFA. But Stasny, I can guarantee you, is a part of their plans moving forward here. So you got Carrier, that's an unrestricted free agent. So you got six, maybe seven spots spoken for on defense already. At forward, you've got 10 spots that are under contract for next year. Smith, McCarron, Jankowski, Evangelista, Novak, Glass, Sissons, Nyquist, O'Reilly, Forsberg. You got 10 forwards that are under contract. That leaves you two spots at forward. Now, look, just because somebody's under contract doesn't mean they can't get traded. Doesn't mean you can't shuffle the deck. I'm just saying, though, like, there's not a ton of room for young guys already based on what the contract situation is. If you bring back Zucker, that's 11. That's 11 spots spoken for in your forward group. Like, it's a crowded house right now in terms of upward mobility for some of these younger players.
Yeah, and that's a pretty good case against Zucker, unless you really think he's, you know, gonna make a big difference for you. And again, it's like, what are you gonna be? How important is it to have opportunity? I mean, Tyson Barry was under contract this year too, and he just was on the shelf. Which, by the way, like, half the comments on my column off the game were like Canucks fans saying, like, "What? Why does your coach hate Tyson Barry? Like, yeah, they think he's amazing."
Yeah,
you know, I mean, but point being, like, that happens. And so I'm sure any sort of move, there would be some of these guys moving out, but it is interesting to look at it that way and see the absence of opportunity for the most part.
Well, and again, I like Zucker, but Zucker in 18 games in the regular season scored 5 goals, and he had 1 goal in the playoffs. Like, he's good. He's good. He's a good player.
He had 27 goals last season, so right, he's not too far removed from that.
He's a good player, but he is 32. Like, how much better is it going to get from here at age 32? And look, I think you have to ask the same question about Nyquist, right? Like, there's a case to be made that the attractiveness of Nyquist is probably never going to be higher than it is this offseason. And do you think he can replicate what he just did? Because if you don't, you can make the case to move him this offseason. Yep. I mean, there's a lot of different ways this could go. Your final thoughts on the Predators, their plan for this offseason coming up next, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Taking your thoughts on the Pred, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Al from Smyrna on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The core needs to change. The defense needs to get better and stronger. More secondary scoring. The Predators have 16 postseason appearances and 11 first-round exits. We went through that number a little bit earlier in the show. Dean in Old Hickory says, don't understand the fixation with Glass. He's done nothing. It was a bad trade. Move on. I get the idea of trying to move on from Cody Glass. I don't really know how you do that this offseason. Like, you're going to trade him away for 7th-round pick? Like, there's not a ton of trade value there.
Also, it wasn't a bad trade. That was a Ryan Ellis trade.
Yeah, they got rid of the Ryan Ellis contract. It was a great trade.
Yeah, you know, it's a fantastic trade.
Then, you know, it's certainly Glass coming back the other way, clearly has not given you the production worthy of where he was drafted, right? Obviously. But, I mean, it's worth the trade just to get rid of that Ellis contract. I don't think there's any doubt about that. This is a really interesting spot for them to be in terms of deep down for Barry Trotz. And we talked about this with Alex Doherty. How many of your young guys do you believe are game-changing players? You know, Novak, you signed the new deal. His new contract kicks in next year, and he was invisible in the playoffs. Like, how much does that change the way you view his role moving forward? I mean, he's not making a ton of money, so there's good. That's the good part of that deal there. Like, Kemmel. Is he on the team next year? Tomasino. Like, is Tomasino a guy that you still believe can be a part of your future? Or is he somebody that kind of fits into the category I was talking about earlier that maybe won't be around? And I keep going back to, these guys are not Barry Trotz picks. Tomasino had 20 points, 41 games for the Preds this year. So he spent basically half a season here with the Predators, went down to Milwaukee after that, and he was fine. Like, he's okay. So, is there a spot for him next season? Like, some of these young guys, I think that's the one part of this year, beyond the overachieving, beyond, I think, finding out that Andrew Brunette was a good coach and the fun of the second half of the season, the one part that I think if you're a Predators fan from this season that you walk away really disappointed in is there were not enough young, impactful players. You hope to see a little bit more from your young guys than you saw this year.
Yeah, and I think some of these guys are, to use a TD lingo, Jags, just a guy.
Yeah,
you know? And
agreed.
You need more than just a guy with a lot of these guys. So then it's still – look, you can still make the case some of these young guys and say, well, how do you know unless they get a real opportunity? Now, Tomasino has had opportunity.
Yes.
You know, Tomasino's had we've talked a lot when he's been in Milwaukee about when are they going to bring up Tomasino, things like that. I think he's had pretty good opportunity. But you know, some of these other guys, I mean, I am intrigued by Person, so I still think there's something there. And Novak's interesting too. Obviously he's a middle-aged player, I guess, basically. He's a good player. Is what we just saw an indication that it's just not there for him in the postseason and the way the Stanley Cup playoffs are, or was this series in particular such an airtight grinder against these monster defensemen that maybe he should get a little bit of a break on that?
I think it's somewhere in the middle. Like, clearly, I don't think this was a great matchup for him. It was a very physical series. Vancouver's got gigantic defensemen. But also, like, that's kind of what it is in the playoffs, right? Like, the space goes away. It's not like there aren't very many series that you look around and say, man, that was wide open. Like, there's just chance after chance. Like,
Others this first round compared to the Preds series.
Yeah, for sure. It's more wide open than the Vancouver series. There's no doubt about that. But, like, at some point, like, you got to figure out how to operate in tight quarters. And I just don't really have belief that he can do that, which is why, like, to me, viewing Novak, in my opinion, as a top six answer for you moving forward would be a mistake. I understand he's under contract, and I'm not saying he's not a good player, and you can't use him. But if you view him, to me, as a solution in your top six, I think you're setting yourself up for failure. Like, Tommy Novak, to me, is not a top six player on a winning Stanley Cup competing team. That's just the way I view it.
Well, it may be, I would guess, down the road that Evangelista separates from him and is a top six answer. And then you hope that Novak gives you some depth scoring.
Yes.
And can be good enough all the way around.
Yes.
He is one of those guys with some of these teams. You look at their third line and they got 18 to 22 goal scorers on them, right? That's you need that if you're the Preds.
And there's nothing wrong with that. And there's nothing wrong with that with right. The money he's making, right? Like, he's not making
sure.
A ton of money. So that's fine. But I think Predators fans, a lot of them, have kind of just like penciled Tommy Novak in as your second line center moving forward. And I think that would be a mistake. In an ideal world, what you'd like to see happen is for Ryan O'Reilly to be your second line center and for you to find somebody, somehow, some way, that can be a legitimate number one option for you. And that's obviously way easier said than done.
Right. There's a name. The answer, we've been talking about answers today, there is a name. I don't know what the name is. I don't know how the name is acquired, but there's a name that we aren't saying, or maybe we've thrown it out as a possibility, and it'll come to fruition. But there's a name not here that has to be part of the solution. Name, parentheses, S, parentheses.
So let me ask you this, and we're going to get into this more a lot throughout the offseason, because there's going to be rumors left and right and names that pop up here. But just your initial thoughts on this, because I know a lot of Predators fans want to go here. Toronto is getting ready to blow this thing up. I don't know exactly how they're going to do it, because they just signed Matthews to a contract. They just signed Nylander to a contract. Nobody wants Tavares at that money. So it's going to be Marner. Like, they're going to have to trade Marner. Would you have any interest in that if you're Barry Trotz, from the standpoint of there's no doubt about it that he's got an ability, a skill level that this team just doesn't have. Like, he's no doubt a skilled player, the likes of which they probably never had before in terms of, like, young guys that can play at a high level. I also have watched him play in the playoffs and continually just leave underwhelmed with what he does in the playoffs. He's got 1 year left, making a ton of money, and after that you're going to have to pay him probably more money. Do you entertain that if you're Barry Trotz?
Entertain it, sure. I you don't dismiss it out of hand. I mean, I think O'Reilly is plenty of other – I mean, Barry Trotz knows everybody in the league. Bruno, you know, they all know. They all talk about everybody. They all know what's going on. But O'Reilly played with him It was very interesting how O'Reilly was like, yeah, I think I'm getting out of Toronto now. Thanks, though, guys. Yes, bye. Good luck. But there's a guy who I think, you know, could be a source of valuable information on Marner. If he's removed from that fishbowl with that, the core four, and he comes into a place like this where there is a lot of grit and sandpaper and leadership in the room, do you believe that you could get his best and maybe get a little bit of a transformation to some of the things you need from a guy like that?
Maybe.
I don't know. I mean, I think that's got to be the conversation.
I certainly think he would be well served of getting out of Toronto. I don't think there's any question about that. I think it wears on people after a while. I think it's wearing on him. The other thing with him is he's not a center. Like, he's a winger, which, I mean, not that you should be opposed to bringing in good wingers.
Yeah, that's good too, but yes.
At some point, you got to find a center. Like, you have got to find a number one center. And again, Ryan O'Reilly is a really good player. At this stage in his career, to me, he's not a number one guy. He's a good, I think, number two guy. And there's nothing wrong with that, especially at the money he's being paid. But you got to find a way to get a number one centerman. And that's what we've been talking about with this group for 25 years. They've been past the second round of the playoffs one time. And that's got to be the basis of which you're operating if you're Barry Trotz. How do you find a way to legitimately become a Stanley Cup contender? And whatever path they take this offseason, that's got to be what's in the back of the mind. We'll continue this discussion tomorrow. Willie Donick is going to join us for the 8 o'clock hour. Get his thoughts on that. Adam Vingan will be with us. Caroline Fenton, appreciate your participation today on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jason Big Joe up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 The Game.